We apologize for our technical difficulties there, but we appear to be underway. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. It's Monday, and it's the 9 o'clock hour, so it's time for All Things Political. For the next 53 minutes or so, we'll talk about the latest political news and get your thoughts as well. Now, here's how you can get involved in the program. You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Or you can leave a comment on the Kathleen Dunn Show Facebook page. My guest this morning is Julie Azari, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. Good morning, Professor Azari, and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, well, let's start with the Wisconsin recall election, because that's probably uppermost in everyone's mind, or at least anyone within range of a television. Last Friday night, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association sponsored a debate, which was carried on our Ideas Network, among other stations, between Governor Walker and Mayor Barrett. The tone was pretty sharp. The exchanges were blunt. What did you make of it?
Well, I didn't think the debate carried too many surprises. We all know what the issues are. There's two things that really jump out at me. And one of them is that Mayor Barrett was even more negative than I was expecting him to be. Of course, the nature of the recall election is inherently pretty negative. But it struck me as, from my perspective, as somebody who keeps an eye on national party politics, as reflecting a problem the Democrats have been having for a while, where they can't quite come up with a compelling narrative, and so they keep reacting to Republican policies, and their main argument is that they're better than the Republicans. And I don't know if that's going to be enough to get Barrett over the threshold that he needs to be to win the recall election. So I was a little surprised about that, and I'm hoping to see from both sides a little bit more positivity on Thursday.
Well, the the most recent Marquette poll showed Governor Walker with a 6-point advantage. Other polls have had slightly different numbers, but I think every poll shows the governor with somewhat of an advantage. You have another poll coming out later this week. It wasn't so long ago that Governor Walker's disapproval rating was higher than his approval rating. What's happened to turn this around?
One thing that seems to be happening is a sense of reservation about the recall process itself. And the Republicans have made a very effective narrative about recall elections as being a case of sore loserdom. They've made a case that recall elections are expensive. And I think maybe there's a sense that with the new numbers that the economy is turning around. We don't know if that's true or not. The new numbers haven't been reviewed by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But the economic numbers maybe are working maybe in Governor Walker's favor. Those are the things that jump out at me as the possible explanations for that change in the polls and for Walker's support.
There are a number of arguments that I kind of expected the mayor to make that haven't come up in any of the campaign advertising or any of the literature I've seen. One of which is the $150 million cost that the state is going to have to incur to repair the Chicago to Milwaukee commuter rail line, money that was lost when the governor rejected the high-speed rail, $810 million that the federal government was handing out. And now the state is on the hook for $150 million because of that. I haven't heard anybody bring that up. And I was a little surprised that that didn't come up. There were a number of other issues that I was a little bit surprised that haven't been mentioned. For example, some teachers in Wisconsin stand to lose almost 50% of their pay thanks to increases in health care deductibles and provisions within Act 10, for example, that prohibit school districts from paying for master's degrees.
It seems like the Barrett campaign has really seized on this idea that Governor Walker's actions are based in his wish to to rise to prominence on the national stage. So we see a lot of those rock star ads. And Barrett said that several times during the campaign. And so during the debate, it seemed that his overall theme for the debate was that Walker did what he did not because he's concerned about Wisconsin, but because he wants to rise to prominence in the national Republican Party. And that kind of larger framework really takes us away from the state level issues. It may be the most useful way to frame the issues. It may not, but I think one thing that does is it kind of takes us away from thinking about the number of dollars the state will have to spend or the concrete consequences of Walker's policies, and instead thinking more about this question of whether state politicians are using the state as a kind of stepping stone into national politics and into the national spotlight. So that's what I think was going on there.
The mayor did bring up the John Doe investigation and raise some questions for Governor Walker and wanted to know what the defense fund was all about, and the governor more or less deflected that and tried to just ignore it. Do you think that issue plays? I mean, is that something people care about?
You know, it's hard to say. It's definitely been in the news. It's never good when a sitting governor, as Mayor Barrett points out, has a criminal defense fund. On the other hand, when you start looking at the issue, I don't know that it's one that's hugely politically salient. We're looking at an investigation of spending, of using taxpayer time and by extension money, people working in the county executive's office and doing campaign activity. I don't think anyone reacts to this positively. I don't think anyone's in favor of that kind of activity, but I don't know if very many voters are concerned with that over their concern about jobs, about the economy, about collective bargaining, whether they're for or against it. So maybe that's why the governor didn't seem too concerned about it. That's my reaction to the issue. I think it's a kind of issue that for people who are already cynical about politics, it confirms their cynicism. For people who already don't like the governor, it confirms their opinion. But I don't know that it changes anybody's mind.
All right, let's go to the phones, and we'll start in Green Bay and hear from Martha. Martha, good morning, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I thought during the debate Tom Barrett did an excellent job. I disagree with your guest there for starting out by saying that about him, but I think Scott Walker went out of his way to not answer the questions that Tom Barrett asked him, and you know, about going out of state, spending so much time raising money from out-of-state people. The fact that the Koch brothers have invested so much is just ridiculous, and they're not even from Wisconsin. We really need to be putting him in check. That this is not the way we want our state to run.
Yeah, I think the caller raises an excellent point about out-of-state donations. This seems to be something that really, really speaks to people and really bothers people. And right now, it's totally legal in our campaign finance system. And I think it's great that people are picking up on that and forming opinions about that. As far as Mayor Barrett's performance in the debate, he was clearly very articulate, cogent on the issues. I was just a little bit surprised that it was so negative. I thought it would have been good to hear something more positive from him to try and kind of get people feeling good about politics and good about turning out on June 5th. But otherwise, I agree with the caller that Barrett brought up some important issues.
All right, thanks. Thanks for that call, Martha. There have been some complaints in Wisconsin that the National Democratic Party apparatus hasn't given enough support to Tom Barrett. How do you see that?
The National Democratic Party giving support to Barrett?
Yeah, it's been, according to some, it hasn't been enough, and they aren't taking this seriously enough.
Well, I think there's two ways to look at that. One way to look at that is that this reflects a trend we see where the Republicans are a lot more organized about these sorts of issues. The Democrats are a party with much more varied views, and they tend to be less effective at kind of moving in one direction. And for people who are supporters of Barrett, that's going to inevitably be very frustrating. On the other hand, I wonder about complaints that the National Democratic Party isn't giving Barrett enough support, and at the same time complaints about out-of-state money coming in for Scott Walker. We're in a kind of awkward position here with regard to the relationship between state and national politics. I also wonder, I was reading this morning that Obama has kind of tried to stay out of it. I mean, I also wonder to what extent that would be helpful if the National Democratic Party were to get involved. Coming off of the election of 2010, where there was a lot of anti-incumbency and specifically anti-democratic sentiment, sometimes it's not always helpful for national political figures, including a polarizing president, as Obama has proven to be, as his predecessor George Bush has proven to be. Is it always effective? Is it always the most desirable thing for those actors to get involved at the state level? So those are some things to consider. But mostly I see it as a continuation of a broader trend where Republicans have acted in national concert and Democrats tend to be a little more fractured.
Let's take another call. This time it'll be Mike in Eagle River. Mike,
good morning.
And welcome.
At the request of your interviewer, I'll confine my comments to the state situation. We have been very poorly served in this state for 40 years by every administration that's been in there. We are mandated to have a balanced budget, and we have never had one in 40 years without invading some sort of fund, transportation fund, patients' compensation fund for medical malpractice, or one of those things. All kinds of voodoo economics. This is blowback. Walker and the Tea Party are what we get and what we deserve for dishonest, self-interested governors for a long time. And there's only two possibilities, you know. One of these guys is going to win. It's nip and tuck right now. If it's Barrett, there will be no change. It'll be the same old malarkey. If it's Walker, it will be more of the Tea Party blowback.
Professor?
Well, I think the caller raises an important issue about the way budgets work. Budgets are about priorities. And I think the caller is correct that the Walker administration is, in some ways, the culmination of the lack of resolution over debates about priorities. If we want to have investment in public services and goods, if we want to have investment in transportation, infrastructure, education, then that costs money, and that money has to come from somewhere. And it's true that it's often very convenient for politicians to punt on those priorities and not make difficult decisions. The Walker administration has really tried to frame their decisions as making tough calls, but clearly the calls that they made have come at the expense of teachers, of public sector unions, of transit, and not everybody's happy about that. A lot of people are really deeply unhappy about that. So I think the caller's right that there's going to be a time to be adults and make budget priority decisions, but those decisions ultimately are probably going to require some sacrifice from everybody, and not just sacrificing on the backs of the public workers, and on the backs of people who depend on public services.
Well, you know, one of the things that has made it so easy to kick that football down the road has been, or not so easy, but it makes it seem like the better of the choices is that thanks to Grover Norquist and some others, The idea of raising taxes has become about as popular as clubbing baby harp seals. And in poll after poll, you ask people if they want to give up any services. The answer is no. They like what they have, but no one wants to pay for anything. And so if you raise the, if you suggest the taxes might go up, well, everybody's against that. And if you take that off the table, you're not really left with anything useful in terms of a solution, except for doing things like cutting people's wages or laying off a bunch of employees and ending certain state services. And it looks to me like, and to others, like there are just so many pieces of the budget that you can't really touch. The part that's left over that's actually discretionary isn't enough to make up for, make up for the deficit without some of the really horrible things that have happened.
That's exactly right. And that really is part and parcel of what I'm talking about here with the way the Republican Party has functioned for the past 30 years or so. They're very nationally unified on certain issues, and part of that has been unifying around a central message. And an important piece of that message, maybe the biggest piece of that message, is that it's not acceptable to raise taxes, that cutting taxes should always be a public priority. And that message, that idea may be appropriate in some situations, it may be fitting, but anytime that's the only policy solution, we're going to run into problems. And that's what we're seeing here in Wisconsin. And so in that sense, we are not only seeing the Walker administration as a culmination of Republican national politics at this moment, but of about a 30-year messaging campaign that repeatedly tells voters that lower taxes is the most preferred solution. And there's really not a comparable messaging campaign in favor of public services. People do favor public services when you ask them in a poll, but we're not relentlessly bombarded with the message that education is a priority the way we are with the message that cutting taxes is a priority.
All right. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll hear from Ray in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I want to talk to all the right-wingers in the state who are going to vote for Scott Walker and remind them that Walker's biggest in-state contributor to his recall campaign, she donated $500,000 to Walker's campaign. That's $500,000. Her name is Diane Hendricks. She runs the company ABC Supply Company in Beloit. And the state income tax records about her company, 2005, 2006, 2007, in 2008, her company paid $0.00, 4 years running, in state corporate income taxes. And these are the people Walker has surrounding him. So those on the right should wonder, why are they paying their taxes if this billionaire woman and her company paid no taxes 4 years running? It's possible they've continued this, but the information about the most recent years was not available to us. So I just want to say heads up to all people in private unions. He's coming after us next, and we better be out there to vote, you know, for Barrett on the 5th, or we can kiss most unions in Wisconsin goodbye.
Professor?
Yeah, there's two things there that I want to pick up on, because I think there's these two really important policy ideas that are kind of waving from the wings in this campaign that maybe should really come to the fore. And one of them is, as the caller mentioned, the union issue. Collective bargaining questions are not just about the benefits and salaries that members of unions get. There's also there's no doubt that unions are an important way of organizing politically people on the left in a way that is perfectly legal and in accordance with American political tradition. And we've now got the governor on record, on tape, talking about doing damage to unions, not as just a way of saving money, but as a way of doing political damage to the other side. We should take that very seriously. There's a whole lot going on in the state in terms of Republican political strategy. And it's perfectly fair for each party to campaign and share their views. But we do see people taking making efforts to change the structure of politics in ways that will damage the other side long term and damage their chances of competing in elections. So the union issue is not just important for the livelihood of the men and women who work in Wisconsin, although that's obviously very important, but we should also see Walker's attitude towards unions in that political light. And the second thing is money in politics. And again, I want to emphasize that these donations that are coming in from out of state and the sheer amount of money that's being spent in this race, to say nothing of the astronomical amount of money that's being spent in the presidential race, this is all legal. The Supreme Court has repeatedly ruled that we can't place limits on spending, that candidates can spend as much as they want of their own money, and that independent expenditures by groups and individuals can't be limited. These things are perfectly legal. This is our system. And it seems like a lot of people, when they find that out, they think it's insane. We should be paying a lot of attention to that. And this is a good time for the public to take a stand about changes in our campaign finance law. If they feel like out-of-state donors in the gubernatorial race are unfair, if they feel like the amount of money being spent on the presidential race is crazy, we should be paying attention to that. So I think the caller raises two really crucial points.
Okay, we've got full phone lines. We're trying to get to everybody in this abbreviated All Things Political. We had a few technical troubles getting started. We'll try to get every caller in that we can. We'll be back in just a moment to do just that. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. My guest is Julia Azari, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. You're listening to All Things Political on the Ideas Network of WPR. It's 9:49. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up next hour, Iceland's 2008 financial collapse stood out in a year of notable financial collapses. But Iceland's economy is now growing at a modestly good rate, and in March it began to repay its International Monetary Fund loans ahead of schedule. Well, next hour we're going to talk about how Iceland got its economy turned around, and if there are any lessons that we can learn from what they did that we could apply in our own circumstances. More particularly, we'll be talking about the Eurozone and the sovereign debt crisis there. That's after 10 o'clock coming up in the next hour here on the Kathleen Dunn Program. This hour, it's All Things Political, and my guest is Julia Azari, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. We have full phone lines. Let's go to Chris in Altoona. Chris, good morning.
Governor, is all too often I see it really as a wholesale sell-off of state resources in favor of his donors, major donors. And case in point, I'm in IT, and WISPnet is Wisconsin's public high-speed internet service, and it's dynamite. It's one of the first ones in the country, and it's really great. Well, he wanted to make it illegal for our research institutions to use it, which would have been devastating for our state. All of our high-tech research that happens here would be just devastated. The baby bells in the state that would pick up the load then are not really equipped to do it. They're not set up to do it. They'd be less service at higher prices, but it would be really great for his donors. And I see this in a lot of areas, and it just really concerns me. Thank you.
Professor?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I'm not sure I have much to add to that. If we've got a full phone line, let's keep them coming.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's go to Sandra in Racine next.
Hi,
Sandra, thanks for holding.
Thank you for taking my call. I often hear Governor Walker use the word his integrity and his Eagle Scout status when he's in debates and things. And what zings in my head is, how did he show integrity while at MU and exiting from MU, Marquette University? How was integrity shown or in his actions?
Maybe the caller knows something I don't about this. This has certainly been a big topic at Marquette, but I haven't heard anything that has gone beyond the level of rumor about exactly what happened, the circumstances surrounding Governor Walker leaving Marquette University just shy of his degree, is my understanding. I don't know. It is interesting. I think the caller's point about integrity is very interesting. This has been an interesting election year in the sense that issues really have been at the fore, but now as we're getting really close to the recall, you're hearing a little bit more about Walker as a person and not just as a representative of a larger Republican philosophy. So I do think now with the John Doe investigation, a little bit more recent example, people are starting to think about who Walker is as a person and as a leader, and that's worthwhile to think about.
All right, here's an email very quickly before we go back to the phones. Greg from Amory shared his impression of the debate Friday night. Here's what Greg has to say. The governor was confronted with several issues that we voters have heard little about. However, in most cases, I found his responses to be weak or evasive. More importantly, his attitude of let's just move forward sounded like let's just ignore our divisions and troubles. The governor thought that all the fuss would die down after a couple of weeks. It obviously didn't, or there wouldn't be a recall election. The debate made me feel that the governor is not engaged, and I was hoping he would be.
Can I pick up? Do we have a second for me to pick up on this division question?
Sure, go ahead.
That came up quite a few times during the debate, and I spent a lot of time thinking about whether we were divided and these policies just revealed that, or whether, in fact, as Mayor Barrett was claiming, Walker was the one who was behind this deep division. And then, of course, there's this other line of argument that recalls are what divide us. And I concluded that all three of those things may be true. But I thought that Mayor Barrett, you know, to say something positive about how Mayor Barrett handled the debate, and he gave one of the best descriptions of leadership that I've heard a public official give during a debate. And I think it's really important when we think about leadership, particularly in an executive position, to remember that leadership is not just about making difficult decisions, but it's about making difficult decisions in ways where different groups and players at the table don't feel like they're total losers in the game. By making everybody's voice heard and coming up with solutions that acknowledge the different and diverse interests in a state like Wisconsin. So there, I think, again, the issue of division is really important, and it's clear that we've got deep philosophical differences going on in this country and this state. That being said, as we evaluate Governor Walker's leadership decisions going into the recall election, it strikes me as worth a voter's attention to think about whether those decisions could have been made differently. In fact, in the debate, Walker admitted they could have.
One thing that we want, an emailer, Jim from Milwaukee, wanted to ask if you could comment on the issue, and this relates to a previous call, of the sale of Wisconsin property without bids, public comment, or legislative oversight.
I mean, when those things happen, that makes voters unhappy. I'm not sure what else there is to say about it.
Okay, let's try to get in another call or two.
Yeah,
Dave from Kimberly, you'll be next.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I think Walker is a thief and a liar, and one thing that I'm very surprised with the Democrats, or is with the Democrats, not bringing up why Walker has attacked education. A previous caller mentioned a bit on this, but what I've heard is that Walker was thrown out of college for corruption and that he didn't even graduate from high school, so he's attacking education because of his failures.
Quick response on that, Professor?
I don't know if the biographical bits are entirely fair. On the other hand, education has been a really important part of this policy debate, and I think that is something that the Democrats would be well served to bring up, is that education has taken serious cuts, that teachers have not only been attacked in the policies, but have been attacked in the public discourse, that During the debates last spring, people were talking about how few hours teachers work. And I have to say that just injecting a bit of personal evaluation in here, that's absurd. And so I think the caller's right that we should be talking more about education, but not in a way that attacks Walker's biography, in a way that engages policies.
Well, we need to kind of wrap this up because we really only have about a minute left here before we have to move on and move forward ourselves. We haven't touched on any national issues yet. Let's just wrap it up with a state issue. The Senate recalls, I mean, in all the kerfuffle about the governor's race, we haven't really talked much about the Senate recalls. Just very quickly, how likely do you think it is that the Democrats will succeed in taking one of those races and thus temporarily at least have control of the Senate?
I haven't seen the latest polling numbers. I think the momentum on Senate recalls has died down a little bit and has been overshadowed by the governor's race. So I don't know if that's where we should look for a lot of movement in the state Senate composition.
Well, I'm just wondering how that's going to affect voter turnout. If those races are competitive, will that help the Democrats or the Republicans?
It will probably help the Democrats.
So they're hoping that they'll be able to energize their base in those districts and get the vote out, and that will help Tom Barrett. We didn't get to talk about any national issues, but we're out of time, so I'll thank you very much, Professor, and we'll maybe talk again sometime.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, that was Professor Julia Azari. She's Assistant Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. Sorry, we did not get to everybody, and I apologize again for the technical issues.